We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another awesome episode of Ask Drone U. And right meow, it's time to get started on today's podcast of Ask Drone U.
My name is Rob. This is podcast number 275, and we thank you for spending a few minutes of your day with us.
You know, this period in time, meow, is just one of those really crazy moments because the legislation around drones is constantly changing, meow.
Yes. yes, it is, Paul. And I'm struggling here today.
Why are you struggling, right, meow?
Because meow's just not really a good time, I don't think.
Why isn't right meow a good time?
Because meow's when we're supposed to be serious.
That's true. That's why we're going to talk about the 333 today, Rob.
Okay.
So
now, meow's a really good time for that.
It is. It absolutely is. And frankly, I couldn't agree with you more about the timing, right, meow? So let's keep this podcast rolling. Special thanks to our sponsors. I can't see us today, which I wish I could see us today. But I do want to say special thanks to GPC. Yesterday, they sent us an Osmo case.
Meow's a great time to be using these cases. They're getting better and stronger than ever.
They are.
Their foam is very, very nice.
Are you trying to hold it together, Rob? You know, I will. Okay, I'm going to be 100% honest. There couldn't be a better time for an Osmo case because the Osmo came out a little while ago. There really isn't a solid solution for it. And what I really love about the Osmo case is that there's this little docking port where you can put the Osmo. So if you're ever, like, you know, using the Osmo and you're taking a break or your model isn't ready for whatever reason, you know, you can put the Osmo standing up in the case,
right,
and rest it, and you don't have to put it in sleep mode. You don't have to use the battery up. That way it's always ready to go. So if, you know, we want to go outside right meow and, you know, use the Osmo, we could totally do it. And if we were just to take a break and I had, you know, my truck open and I had the case right there, I could just put it in the docking bay and be good to go. So I just want to say special thanks to GPC. If you guys want a GPC case, guess what? There's a discount code right now.
We know right where they can get one.
That's true. So if you use discount code DRONEU15, all caps, you can save 10% on any GPC case. I think that's pretty cool.
So go right meow and buy yourself one of these cases.
Definitely.
Whether it's for your Phantom 3 or your pre-order for the Phantom. No, I better not say that. But
your pre-order for the Phantom 4?
That's what I was
going to
say. Is
that what you're about to say?
That's what I was going to say.
Everyone is saying that the Phantom 4 is going to be a major leap forward. And everyone's like, it's a game changer. Yeah. I've heard that word so many times now. It's like, there's no more game changers.
Yeah.
And someone's like, well, it's going to be 6K. 6K. Okay, well, 6K at 15 frames a second is useless.
Meow, 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 people. You just relax. We don't even have any word or any word on when this thing might. It is so speculative, we probably shouldn't even be talking about it.
That's true. But March 1st, which is very soon, we're going to find out
if we're going
to have a new drone hit the market.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're not going to figure it. We're not going to get answers right now, but we will in March 1st. So.
Look forward to that.
Definitely.
Can't wait.
Today's question, let's just play it because this entire podcast is about the 333. And this is the podcast where we tell you what we have been doing with the 333. Everyone says, well, your message seems to have changed from podcast episode 140. Look, I still feel the same way. I really do. But there are perception shifts. You need a 333 for specific things no matter what. And I also am going to talk about what's driven this perception shift. And specifically, I'm going to talk about the operators who call the FAA on other operators. That lizard, that I wanted to say lizard so I didn't cuss.
Good
that
job.
Stuff has to stop. It's happened to members of our community. It's happened to friends who are not members of the community. It's happened to myself. It's childish. And frankly, if I find out that anyone has called the FAA on other operators because for competitive reasons, I will take you into the back alley and let you know what I think about that.
Paul.
You're right. I wouldn't do it. I would just hire my neighbor who's Green Beret to do it for me.
Okay. Well, so, that's different.
Yeah,
I just don't want you to get hurt.
Oh, I would not get hurt.
Ooh. Okay.
I have a lot of training that people don't know about me from a past life.
And an old lacrosse stick.
I love to play lacrosse.
One in each hand.
Yeah. Anyway, I say that because, guys, if you are worried about your competition and you call the FAA on them, it just goes to show, like, what kind of person you are. And frankly, your work should speak for itself. If you are truly worried about someone overtaking your business or a client, you need to express to your client why your product is better.
Well, we got to stick together.
That too, because the further we divide, the further that we're not going to get what we want, which is really the freedom of the skies, freedom to fly. And you know what I'm learning, though, Rob, is that in this day and age right now, people are just used to convenience. They will do anything for convenience. And it comes to the registration, too, right? Registration was online for one specific fact. It was convenient because people would rather sign up online than be threatened with a $30,000 fine, which is disgusting that we've had this executive overreach from the FAA, which they have no authority to do registration.
Here he goes.
Are only doing it because they're afraid. And you know what, guys? If you're not going to stand up for that, what are you going to stand up for? I'm serious. Like, what are you going to stand up for? If it's just so convenient to go sign up online and you don't want to do the paper route, you don't want to fight this, you don't want to, you know, say when an LEO comes up to you and says, well, you know, the FAA doesn't have the authority. And here, I'll show you the paperwork where they don't have the authority. It was in 2012, FMRA, and it's in this line right here. The FAA cannot promulgate any rules against model aircraft. And I don't even have that document here. This is just from my email. But I know
but
it by heart.
Thanks for showing our listeners.
You're welcome. You know, you always got to show things. Right.
Yeah, it was a perfect time to do that, I think.
I agree.
But see, here's the thing, Paul. The
That's 18.
The reality is, thank you very much for that.
We've broken the record.
All right, awesome. The reality is that while that all may be true, I think in some sense, people's fear is not unwarranted because they are fining people, or they can fine people, and then you have to fight that fine, right?
Well, yeah, someone on our YouTube page was like, well, you can get fined. And I'm like, show me one example of someone getting fined for flying commercially. And they're like, Skypan. No, Skypan's getting fined for flying recklessly in places they shouldn't have been flying. They're like, well, right. Perker. It's like, well, Perker wasn't fined for flying commercially. He was later fined after an appeal for flying recklessly.
Right. But I still think that's the concern that people have, is that they could be fined.
I think the greater concern has been fueled by the fact that the FAA has taken in a substantial amount of money because of registration, and now they have resources to actually enforce their rules.
Well, and that's a farce, because though there have been some registrations, I don't think they've taken in that much money. When you really think about what it takes to run a full-fledged enforcement of this sort, that's not enough money. I mean, you're talking tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, ultimately, to have the people out in the field to get this thing done. And maybe what have they taken in? I don't know, 5-10 million on these?
Who knows? Yeah. So, well, they say that they have 300,000 people registered. Let's say that 150,000 of those people registered in the time period where they got their money refunded. So let's say 150,000 times $5, even though we know it's not really $5, it's $5 per drone. You can buy all these little stickers, which, by the way, I'd like to give a gold star to the FAA for selling stickers, because it's a great business, you know?
Selling stickers is a
great
business.
I'm not sure they have the authority, though, to sell stickers, but we'll find out later.
It's a free country.
That's true. So why can't we fly drones commercially then? Because I'm really confused, because the FAA doesn't control commerce. That's not in their authority.
Yeah, well, anyways, let's get into a very, very specific question that was asked of us.
All right, let's get into
the
question.
From our wonderful listener.
As you can tell,
I believe member.
As you can tell, I'm really passionate about this. And Meow, I'm even more passionate.
Meow might be the most passionate I've seen you in a long time.
Well, get ready for some more, Rob, because it's going to get crazy.
Oh, gosh. I'm scared.
This is Todd from Houston, Texas, and I am a grateful member. I'm asking about the 333, which I'm sure you get a lot about. Several months ago, when I was listening to all the podcasts about that, you had stated it's not needed, don't worry about it. If you have any problems, just tell the people this, that the FAA can't enforce it. And now I hear you saying, yeah, you probably should get your 333 while you're waiting for the 107. So is the 333 now required?
So, first of all, Brett, thank you for the question. Thank you for holding us accountable, making sure you're keeping us honest. We appreciate that. Anybody out there that feels the need to do that, we welcome it.
Yeah, now, you're probably the 50th person to ask that question.
Yeah.
We've just decided that now we're going to take the time to actually talk about
Speak
this.
Speak to it. Sure, absolutely. Meow's a perfect time.
It is. It is a very good time. So let's talk about this. We're going to talk about this from a marketing perspective. We're going to talk about this from the perception as a whole. We're going to talk about this legal perception. We're going to talk about this in case law perception, because every lawyer that we've talked to, now that we have John Rupert on board, every lawyer up until John Rupert said X, and I'm going to say what X means in regards to case law. Because, again, you know, I bring it back to how many people have been fined for operating commercially. And I'm not trying to test the FAA. I'm not. I'm just going by past history. And, again, even Equisearch, right, that was tossed out. So, again, you know, can it happen? Yes. I actually talked to John Rupert this weekend, and I asked him, I said, you know, we have been talking over the phone about other ways that the FAA can come after you. And, I really want to know what those ways are. And he's like, well, it's really simple. It's really simple. And he's like, if you're operating an aircraft, if they define this as an aircraft, which is being challenged right now by two separate cases, if they define this as aircraft and you're operating in the airspace without a pilot's license, that's a pretty serious offense.
Right.
And on top of that, they can get you for other things.
But we don't know that yet. We don't know that.
And we haven't seen
at.
It. We right. haven't seen it, and I'm not trying to say, FAA, no, we want to see it. I don't want to see it. I would really like to see some common sense legislation like what we saw with the AIR Act and the micro UAS rule, which we're going to talk about later, and why that could have a really huge macroeconomic effect on the industry as a whole, something that we haven't really looked into before. So that being said, episode 140, we talked about how everyone in that podcast thought the 333 was dumb. They don't think that you need
from the perspective of a drone pilot.
Correct.
Right.
Because why do you need a pilot's license to operate a drone? I'm not going to lie. You want to know something really funny? When I was taking my written test and I was talking with a couple of the FAA guys. Well, you take the test at a CAT center, but I talked to a couple of the FAA guys that's down the street from the airport. And I said, I just passed your written exam. Get my pilot's license. Make you beepers. Beep. Beep happy.
Self-beeping, that's good.
Yes,
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. And I said, but I have a question for you. What do runway markers have to do with what I need to know as a drone pilot? Silence.
Silence. Crickets.
Anyway.
Beep, beep.
My bigger issue, too, is that a lot of people who have 333s don't have pilot's licenses. They don't follow the rules of the 333. I mean, we heard that from episode 142. The very first guy who got a 333 doesn't even do it.
Right.
You know? So what's disturbing to me is that the FAA is going after people for not having a 333.
Are they?
Well, that's in question. Because case law says they're not.
Okay.
So, but someone's like, well, they're suing Skypan. That's a response, though, from Skypan suing the FAA over the legitimacy of the 333.
Well, and even that statement is speculation. But what we do know is that's an airspace issue. Right? They were flying in airspace.
The Skypan, yes.
Yeah.
So, yes, that is the basis of that case. But people are saying, well, they're being sued for flying commercially. No, they're being sued for flying in airspace they shouldn't have been flying in.
Right.
But they're also saying that their drones didn't have a transponder, they didn't have a two-way radio, all these things that an aircraft would need to fly in that airspace. And that being said, I mean, to have those things on the aircraft is a little ridiculous. But I will say this. I just spoke with John Goyola from Forbes and found out that there are transponders like the TCAS system. Like, so TCAS is the sense and avoid system that's in every large-scale commercial aircraft. So the 737s, the Airbuses, all that. There's a TCAS system that weighs less than half a pound that you can put on your drone that would really solve that whole issue for the country as a whole. But I was joking with John, and I said, yeah, but if you look at that map that the FAA puts up with all the planes that are in the sky and how there's, like, dots everywhere all over the country, I said the whole country would be blacked out with dots if they showed how many drones were in the sky.
True.
So going back to the 333, my perception has not changed. But I will say this. In episode 140, we heard from Anthony Cools. We heard from Tom Kilpatrick. We heard from Douglas Trudeau. All of those people now have 333s. And I'll say this. There are types of business where, in my opinion, you do not need a 333. Because we've heard from Jim Williams, who openly said, if you want to fly real estate, the realtor is not liable for hiring someone who is a drone operator, whether they have a Section 333 or not.
Right. Now, he wasn't, just to clarify, he wasn't speaking officially on behalf of the FAA when he said that, right?
Well, he was in a conference that was televised with Leslie Walker of the National Association of Realtors, NAR.
Right.
So
either way, okay.
It was on record.
That was his opinion.
It was said publicly. If we go by the media rules, someone says something publicly, it's got to be written in stone somewhere.
Okay.
Anyway.
Gotcha.
So the perception has not changed, in my opinion. There are a lot of things that you can do let me put it to you this way. There are a lot of things that you can do with your drone that I believe you don't need a 333 for. And there are other companies, very large companies. And I've mentioned this before. I was in a meeting with a huge construction firm in Arizona a couple weeks ago. And they were totally familiar with the case law on the 333. Mm-hmm. They were familiar that the 333 was based on a 2014 interpretation of the 2012 ruling.
Right.
So they're like, how can you base something off of an interpretation? So anyway, they're totally familiar with what's going on.
Meaning the risks associated with a decision.
And they decided to move forward without one.
Right.
Because they're like, why am I going to spend $3,000 to $5,000 to get someone to get a pilot's license for them to just take 5 pictures over my construction site once a week? Like, why?
Yeah.
You know, and
it just doesn't make sense. It really doesn't.
Yeah, well, and I think Congress is kind of seeing the same thing right now. I think I really do believe that, because if you look at the statement from the representative of Illinois who entered in the micro UAS ruling into the AIR Act, he said very blatantly, like, what does registration do for safety?
Right.
What are these things that the FAA has done do for safety? I mean, has anyone asked that question? And when he said that, I was like, oh my God, someone actually has the balls to say there is no common sense going on here and you are stifling the economy. Get out of the way. Like, I'm sorry, I'm passionate because I love this. A lot of people love doing this. It's really not that difficult. What we're seeing is bureaucracy at its worst. Get out of the way of technology, because guess what? Technology does not care how you feel. It is going to progress either way. That's something that we put in presentations from the NAB, CES, everywhere. Technology does not have a heart. It does not care. I'm sorry. It doesn't. Anyway, back to the 333. There are industries, though, that you need a 333 no matter what.
So before we go there, can you give a couple of examples of industries where you do not think the 333 is necessary, even under the current in the current environment? Like, right meow. What industries can somebody go work in and not have a 333? And in your opinion, again, very, very much an opinion, think that they're going to be fine?
Any type of industry where you're not directly flying near urban centers. I would say farming.
Yeah.
Perfect example. Agriculture, perfect example. Mining, perfect example. I would say anything where you're using a phantom-sized drone or smaller, do you really need a special permit for
that? So would you include real estate in that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Now, people would say, and this is honestly super ironic to me, because people get Section 333 exemptions to fly real estate.
Right.
But in their Section 333 exemption, it says they have to stay 500 feet away from objects, people, vehicles that are not included in the shoot itself. That means they're participating in the shoot itself. So if you shoot a house and you've got another house 50 feet away from it.
You're in violation?
Yep.
Technically speaking.
Yes.
Right. That's why we need new common sense stuff, new rules.
But it just doesn't... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to poke you. It just doesn't make sense. Like, you're getting a 333 to do something, but in the 333, what you're doing is illegal. That doesn't make sense. Are we seeing any enforcements on that? Nope. That's why I... You know, dear FAA, I appreciate what you do for the safety, and I respect what you do for commercial aviation. But there's a lot of things that just don't make sense here with the drone stuff. Just very simply, they don't make sense.
So moving on.
There are businesses that you absolutely, no matter what, you're going to need a 333 for. Just
and
because
why?
They're too high profile.
Okay.
They're way too high profile. For example, flying in the movie industry. And I go back to, before I go into the other industries, so I got to come back to the industries that you need the 333 no matter what because of extrinsic factors.
Right.
I believe that this perception, everything with the 333 is the perception of the client. And that's why I told that story before. If your client is familiar with the case law, if they're familiar with all the lawsuits against the FAA right now, if they're familiar with the drone industry as a whole, chances are they're going to move forward with you whether you have one or not. Now, that being said, it's based purely on perception. So when you have operators who call on other operators or turn in or rat out or snitch, you know, there's an old saying in the streets of D.C. that I learned, snitches get stitches.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
I don't think now's the time to be talking about that kind of stuff, Paul.
Yeah, you're right.
That's pretty rough.
I don't want to seem aggressive. It's just that I'm so passionate about flying.
Well, and let me ask you this. So since you brought that up again.
Well, I brought it up because operators calling the FAA on other operators is going to change the perception of your client. Because as soon as your client comes under scrutiny with a potential lawsuit, their mindset is going to change.
Okay, I appreciate that. My question to you is, let's say somebody calls on you, which has happened actually.
Yep.
What comes of it? I mean, what's the risk? So they call the FAA. Well, who cares? I mean,
well,
if you're flying safely and you're doing all of the things that you should do, it all comes back really only to that perception and that sort of adding fuel to the fire of that perception.
Yes.
But it's all perception.
It is really all perception. But that being said, what the FAA does to you is really dependent on how much the FISDO guy likes you or doesn't like you. I mean, I really say that because there was a guy in Oregon who was calling on drone operators who put their videos on YouTube. If you remember, The Verge wrote an article that says if you post a drone video on YouTube, the FAA is coming after you. Now there's 10 million videos on YouTube with drones. So that worked out great.
Right.
That being said, that guy, that FISDO operator, was sued for harassment, and he lost.
Hmm.
So people are getting smart about this, and they're saying, if you're going to harass me on something that is not black and white law, I'm going to sue you back, and I'm going to go after you directly, not your agency. I'm going to make this personal.
Yeah.
Because that's the only thing that's going to get them to kind of back off.
Right.
So even though a lot of FISDO guys are saying, well, like, I'm going to go after you, I'm going to ruin you, the thing is that if you have a pilot's license, they can really ruin you. I mean, they can ruin your ability to make money very quickly. If you don't have a pilot's license, it's more difficult for them to come after you. If you remember the document that was sent out a long time ago, it was Memo 8150 Section H. It was 8150B Section H, where the FAA told their FISDO officers, they said, you can only go after drone pilots if they cause immediate, medium to high... Was it immediate danger to people or manned aircraft that posed a medium to high level of danger?
Yeah, basically back to the safety issue, which is what it's been all along.
Correct. But not all of the FISDO guys follow the memos. So
sure.
That's what I'm saying. It really comes down to the FISDO guy as well.
Well, and interestingly, it's so often, no matter what we do, no matter what you're doing, it's about relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a really – you want to get out and meet the people that you're going to be working with that are overseeing you, et cetera. So just go meet these guys. And a lot of them are really nice guys. They're good guys.
Well, you know, and I was the first FISDO. So a lot of people don't know, including the FAA guy that called me when someone else called the FAA on me. When that FAA guy called me, he had no idea that I had previously worked for the FAA. on a drone project for a proof of concept.
Yeah, and why would he?
So I know, but it's just it's the my point is that the first FAA guy I ever worked with, his name was Tom Weisner, a FISDO guy out of Denver, one of the nicest guys I ever met in my entire life. And he was like, you know what, Paul? He's like, this is what I expect with drones. And this was in 2013 or 2012. He said, in 1 to 2 years, we'll see something come out, some legislation. And it'll take 5 to 6 years after that for it to actually be enacted and go into place.
Right.
And I think everything he said so far has come true.
Yeah, it seems to be playing out. Although we hope we get something a little sooner than that, because we're still 3 years away from that, probably.
And that's something that
according to his timeline.
Yeah, and that's something we're going to talk about later is the AIR Act. We're going to talk about why the micro UAS ruling is great for operators, but we think that there is a significant barrier to entry for that to actually happen. So going back to the 3-3-3, what industries do you need? Movie industries. There's no way ever you're going to fly movies without an MPTOM, a 333, and a pilot's license. It's just not going to happen. I say that too because, let's see. Now, if you're filming a documentary, if you're filming an indie movie, chances are they don't care. But if this is any studio work, they will not even consider hiring you. That being said, movies are interesting because there are multiple unions who are fighting each other to have first right of refusal of drone pilots. So the International Cinematographers Guild, ICG 600, is saying, oh, you've got to be in the guild in order to get movies. And I got a phone call a couple weeks ago from a Seth Rogen show that is filming here in town. And they said, you know, just so you know, we're a union movie, right? Okay. And I said, that's fine. But I was under the perception that the unions are still fighting and trying to figure out where drone pilots fall.
Right.
And I said, that's why I haven't joined a union yet. And I've had offers to join the guild for free. I've had offers to join the 480 for free. You know, but the grips and the cinematographers are fighting because the grips are the people, anyone who holds a camera or anything that holds a camera, that union is in charge of. But anyone who operates a camera is in the guild, the cinematographers guild. But the funny thing is, you need the drone to hold the camera. But if we actually take this and break this down per the existing union rules, the guy operating the camera would be 600, the guy flying the drone would be 480.
So in your case, you're both. So there you go. You're stuck. It's a new union for both.
Yeah. Well, funny you say that. There was one started in New York City 3 months ago.
But
so
the bottom line is.
Well, hold on. I want to finish this because when I spoke to the lady who was working for Sony Studios on that particular show, I mentioned the union thing. She got back to me and she said, I found out that's exactly what's going on. And because that's going on, you're defined as a special unit, so you don't need to be in the union. And I said, thank you so much for saying that, because there are people every day, Society of Aerial Cinematographers, bunch of union guys, Michael Chambliss, all of those guys, who are like, you got to be a union. You'll get protection. You know, you'll get the rates that you want. Well, guess what? We've got Social Security. We've got OSHA. Why do I need protection from you? You think I can't negotiate my terms for myself? Like, this is like going back 60 years to the whole union thing. And who knows? I might get shot tomorrow for saying this about unions. But that being said, I just feel that there's not a valid reason for it.
Well, no, I really appreciate that perspective that you have, which is to say, look, I'm capable of coming up with the terms that I'm looking for and fighting for what I think I'm worth and working through that, negotiating through that, and getting to a place that benefits both me and the client.
Yes.
We're human beings.
Yep.
I don't need a union, and this is not about unions at all today. That's not where we're going. But I don't need a union to accomplish what I need to accomplish.
Correct. And also the union fees that they're offering to pay drone pilots was below what I was already getting paid. So
that is really interesting.
Yeah.
That flies in the face of one of their core purposes, doesn't it?
Yes. Well, they say, well, that's the minimum. You can get paid more. Mm. Well, yeah, but they determine that on experience, and they only see your experiences when you worked on union stuff.
You're bracketed like a government job in terms of what you can make for any given position.
Which is so dumb. Yeah. Because no offense, but a lot of the guys in the union, I would fly circles around 95% of them.
So I don't doubt that for a second. So anyways, the bottom line is that
there are specific industries that you have to have a 333 for. You can't get around.
And to define that term, you have to have, that's because of their expectation and their requirement.
Correct. Yes, they require inspection. Now, I will say this. If anyone is hoping to get the 107 drone certificate and fly movies, there are multiple agencies that are already fighting against that. They're saying that you have to have a 333, even though the 333s all expire in 2017, if you haven't read the bottom of your 333. And they're saying that even when 107 comes around, like, you can't fly on our movie sets because you don't have the necessary experience and whatnot. So the ICG 600 is already fighting for that to happen. So right. If you want to try and fly movies with your 107 certificate, even though that's supposed to cover everything, they're already fighting for you to not be able to do that.
Right.
So there's an added benefit then to have your 333 before the 107 comes out.
True. And that's a fluid thing as well. I mean, that could change. We don't know how that's ultimately going to play out. But what you're speaking to is what their plans are, what their goals are.
Correct.
In terms of a strategy, if you will.
And by the way, I wasn't supposed to say that, but I don't really care. So anyway.
Oh, boy.
So I'm going to start talking about other things right now.
Screw it over.
No, literally, I could get shot tomorrow. Like, I would not surprise me. My dad fought the unions for 25 years, and I have had people show up in black coats to my house many times. So it would not surprise me at all. And it's that.
So the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Is that what you're telling us?
Well, his was transportation, but anyway.
Anyways.
So there are specific industries. Public entities is another big one. People are asking, why did you cancel the Spaceport Games? Because we needed an AMA sanction to do the drone event itself because this was a public entity. Yes, it is their controlled airspace, but it is a public entity, which means the FAA was all over this, and they knew we had to get an AMA sanction, and they asked for it when we released our public release about doing the Spaceport Games.
Right.
And because the AMA and the FAA are fighting like two little teenage girls, they're not allowing AMA sanctions anymore. What? It's so totally true. Like, this is like, I feel like they could make a drone reality show.
Yeah.
It would be worse than The Bachelor because all the guys would be like, I'm getting that job. I'm getting that job. No, my boobs are bigger. I'm getting that job. So, anyway.
I can't wait to see all the crying.
I can't get over this, dude. I'm glad we're having so much fun with this because one day I may regret.
Well, I tell you what, no matter the circumstances, you got to keep a sense of humor, right?
Yes.
It's really, really important.
I do.
Seriously.
In order to stay sane, because I think about what's going on right now and I'm just like, this is so ridiculous. Why can't people just fly a certain class of drones? Because the FAA classifies the airspace and what people can fly based off of their inertia. You know, how much damage can that specific vehicle cause? How fast can it go? How high can it fall from? What is the actual amount of damage? And we know from a 4.5-pound drone, if we limit that speed to, say, 40 knots, we know the type of damage it can cause. So, again, it comes down to safety, but why aren't they utilizing that formula right now? That's the question. Moving on. Other industries, public industries we've talked about. Oil and gas is another industry that if you want to make money in, 333 is definitely going to be necessary.
Right.
Although, I don't think oil and gas is a industry you really want to go after right now.
Really?
Well,
I've not heard you say that before. So this is breaking news.
Well, I mean, in fact, I forgot to tell you, we got an offer to do a job in Gillette, or we can give the job to one of our Drone U members, but in Gillette, Wyoming, there's a big project that needs to be done, and I don't think you would want to work for an oil and gas company right now. I mean, the price of oil is less than, you know, $27 a barrel. They're not making a lot of money. There's layoffs everywhere. New Mexico has lost, what is it, $125 million in revenue already this year?
Yeah.
So, anyway.
I mean, I believe you. We're losing a lot of money, for sure.
Yeah, so I don't think it's the way to go. But again, this is a fluid economy. Just yesterday, Russia and Saudi Arabia said they are going to freeze oil production, and that could decrease supply. With demand staying the same, that means prices are going to go up. So
yes, in theory. And that's a whole other podcast, probably not for us.
Probably just for you.
Well, yeah, because there are other countries that are saying, oh, cool, now we're going to ramp up production to
like
take
Iran.
Advantage of that
yeah.
and get some more market share for ourselves. But, you know, another way to look at that, Paul, is to say maybe a lot of people are looking at it as you just stated, and that is I'm going to stay away from that industry. How about using it as an opportunity to get into that industry because the gate's a little bit wider and maybe there's some more opportunity there. And yes, you might have to be skinny for a while, but when things pick up, because they will eventually, oil prices will go back up.
It's true.
Why not be there ready for that?
True. And taking that same philosophy of why not be there, that's why we've gotten or that's why we are pursuing our 333. We worked with John Rupert. I probably shouldn't endorse him because he's not sponsoring the podcast just yet.
That's okay. We like John.
We appreciate John. Yeah, John's my homeboy.
He's been very good to us.
Yes, and he really is my homeboy. But we got the 333 with him, and really we wanted to figure out, okay, if you finally just decide, I want to fly the big money makers, I need a 333, and you just want to stop dealing with all the crap from the FAA, which I totally empathize with.
Right.
I really empathize with. Six certified letters later, I empathize.
Hence, going through the process and getting it done.
Yes. So, that being said, it comes down to what is your ability to fight the FAA. And we wanted to figure out, excuse me, nice little burp there for everybody. We wanted to, really.
Is meow really the time to be burping, Paul?
I think right meow is a great time.
It's just whenever.
Anyway, back to it. We wanted to figure out the cheapest, quick, fastest way. So when we say cheap and we say fast, what do we mean? Efficient. We want to find the most efficient way to get your pilot's license, to get your 333, become compliant with these rules that are being fought in court as we speak, just so we don't have to deal with the FAA. Because the FAA has made it very clear. If you get a 333, got a pilot's license,
you're pretty much in the clear.
All right. Just operate smooth, bro. You'll be okay.
That's right.
But if you don't, what are you doing? So it's a little different. The mindset's different. So a long time ago, before The Verge put out the article, one of the local pilots here in town told me, you can get your pilot certificate with a balloon and it'll count.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, oh, okay. He goes, but don't tell anyone that. I should not have listened to him. I should have told everyone because we would have said it before The Verge. Which relevancy is always key.
Why did he not want
media.
People to know that?
I don't know.
I don't understand.
Because he doesn't want competition. That's why.
Okay.
Anyway.
Oh, that's right.
Well, guess what? I found a cheaper way. I found a faster way.
Well, sort of.
Well, it depends on who
it
you,
is.
Depends on who your instructor is.
That's right. Your point being made is very clear.
So the cheaper, the faster way is?
Powered. Parachute?
Yeah. and powered parachute, I will say, is the simplest way to fly. Sorry, I didn't mean to play footsie with you. But right now is a great time for that. So that being said, powered parachute is the simplest way to fly. You don't have a joystick. You don't control the aircraft like any aircraft you've ever flown in a simulator. You push with your feet. I mean, you literally turn with your feet. And when I say it's the simplest aircraft ever, right, you fly a fixed wing, you fly a light sport, you know, you've got your roll.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got your yaw. Guess what? In a powered parachute, you don't have that.
You have neither.
You have left and right. It already banks your turns for you. So it really is the simplest way. And I will say finding the right instructor is so critical in getting this done right. Because if you have an anal old man instructor, it's going to take forever to get the license. But
so do your research.
Do your research.
Make sure you talk to people. We would suggest talking to people who have been trained by the person that you're thinking of being trained by.
Correct. We're actually switching training schools right now. So we were going with a group out of bleep, and we're going with a new group out of bleep. And the reason for being is that this is all about cost and time. But if people waste your time, that's opportunity cost. So, because you could be making money during the time that you're with these other people. So, we switch schools because, like I said, some people are really hardcore, and you really don't need to be that hardcore. It's a very simple machine to fly. The check ride is not that difficult. I got to say, we're going to have a whole course coming out on how to do this, the tips, the tricks. I mean, there really is a secret to this process, too. Something that I've learned, I think, which a lot of people will really find great information is like, here's exactly what to look at so that you need to pass the test. Here's how many times you need to do this in order to pass the test. So it's very clear cut and dry. That being said, Power Parachute will give you your light sport aircraft license, and then you can fly, what is it called? You can fly with the 333. With the 333. The reason that I'm doing the pilot's license, even though a lot of people who have 333s and they don't have pilot's licenses are not being investigated, is because in the type of industry that I want to work in, which is the movie industry, it's what I've really found my calling to. And last year, my goal was to film a movie, and it happened. So I'm really proud of that. And that being said, the FAA is getting smarter, and they're showing up on set now all the time, and they want you to prove to them that you're in the pilot in command. So if you have two people on dual remotes and your pilot in command who has his pilot's license is operating the camera while you're flying, bing, you get a little fine and a little slap on the wrist. The worst part is, though, is that being told by the FAA while you're on set that you can't fly. That's the most embarrassing thing ever, because that production company and that studio will never hire you again.
Well, and this just brings me, frankly, Paul, full circle back to, do you really need a 333 to fly? So in the scenario that you just painted a picture of, it implies that, yes, you do, and they're enforcing that in that moment. So that makes it a bigger issue than just doing it because the movie studios want you to.
Yes.
Because the FAA is literally showing up and telling people that they can't fly. You've seen that, heard
yes,
that?
Yes, I've seen that. So that being said, you know, if you're flying real estate, if you're just trying to augment your existing business, chances are the likelihood of you getting called by the FAA is very low. But if you fly the higher end stuff, like the mapping, you know, the other big deal that I've been working on recently is, do you need a surveyor's license to do mapping work? We've heard of someone being sued for that. Again, speculative. And finally, I was working with a company in town because I don't like to do mapping. There are people who love mapping, and we were creating a referral business because people call us all the time to do jobs from all over the country, and we're like, this student, this student, this student, this student. Anyone who's a DroneU member, if you fly well, you have an opportunity to get work from us just because it really funnels down. But I don't like doing mapping here. I hate it. And I wanted to refer business to another guy, Derek, who does mapping. He was like, well, you need a surveyor's license to even fly and create the map. That's not true. I called the compliance department at the surveyor's office, and I said, at what point do you need a surveyor's license to actually do mapping with a drone? And I said, okay, if I have a drone and I fly over this construction site, and then that data goes into the cloud through drone deploy, and then it comes back down as a map, is that illegal? And she said, no. She's like, when it becomes illegal is if you go on that map and you get measurements from that map, you do volumetric measuring on that map. She's like, that's interpreting the map. That's where you need a surveyor's license. So if you make a map, for whatever reason, and you give it to a construction company, it's
just be
okay.
Sure, that's where it ends.
That has to end there.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I told Derek that, and he's like, well, I could get you in contact with the board. It's like, I spoke with the board, I spoke with the compliance department, and this is what they told me. So, and then I brought the example of, well, if I own a quarry and I have a drone and I want to figure out how much sand I have and I do volumetric measuring, but I'm the owner of my company, do I need a surveyor's license? And she was just like,
stumped.
Yeah, so I'm waiting for a callback on that one.
Interesting.
What this is coming down to, Rob, is this is a disruptive technology. Did you just get a... Is this like you just looked in the mirror and you're like, whoa, there I am!
I'm sorry.
Well,
my thought was, I really need to be a little happier about sitting here right now.
I think you're doing just fine right now.
Sometimes I forget that we're actually on screen as well. So anyways,
I posted a picture on Instagram of what we look at every day because people have no idea what's behind the camera. And that's what we're looking at right now. If you want to see, check it out on Instagram.
Anyways, I'm sorry
for
the derailment, but I'm thinking maybe we should just kind of bring it all together and summarize what we're talking about here today. And
well, hold on. We have not finished yet.
Ooh, my bad. Okay.
So let's talk about this from a marketing perception.
That's a good point.
Do you need a 333 from marketing?
Potentially. It speaks to what we've been talking about this whole time. It depends on who you're marketing to.
Well, here's the thing, right? A lot of operators who don't want a phone call from the FAA, they don't want to be investigated. They don't want to be talked to, right? They don't market themselves. They do word of mouth, which is much more difficult to market. They don't advertise online, no websites, nothing, right?
No, it is a feather in your cap, basically.
Yes. So if you have a 333, though, you can blast market. PR release is here. Look at this beautiful farm I just did over here.
You could fly a plane with a flag behind it. Okay, maybe not.
Anyway, so
meow wasn't the time for that.
No, it wasn't, but it was a great time. Anyway, that being said, so it will make marketing much easier. It will make marketing so much easier because you can go out to people and say, these are all the services I can do for you. But one thing I will tell you dronies out there is figure out your niche. Figure out what you really want to do because there are so many different things that you can do with a drone, Rob, that if you specialize in one of those things and become better than anyone else, the world kind of opens up to you. And all the time when I'm doing presentations and stuff, I'm talking about vetting drone pilots. Like,
right.
You know, how can you tell a good drone pilot from a bad drone pilot? And it really comes down to their smoothness, fluidity, and deliverable. And that all comes down to how smooth on the sticks are you. So I think videography is the most difficult thing mm-hmm. when it comes to drones. But if you master that, everything else comes naturally.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I get that. Probably an understanding of the technology would be a really good thing,
yes.
obviously. So can we back up a little bit? I just, something that we didn't touch on, I want to make sure we touch on, and that is on
backup
the...
Backup rate, Meow?
Yes. Huh? Anyways, backing up.
That's 30.
On the powered parachute.
Yes.
Talk very, very briefly about the cost of doing that. I think that would be of interest to people.
$2,400.
And pretty much beginning to end, does that include your test?
So the first test, so the way that it works is that you have to study. If you want to do this the fast way, the way that this works is you have to study, take the written exam, then do your in-person training, so where you're actually flying. And if you do it the opposite way, it takes a lot more time, and it's a lot more stressful, because if you haven't passed the written exam, you don't have a piece of paper that tells the instructor, I know what I'm talking about.
Gotcha.
And with some instructors over others, that is really important.
Well, and it gives them a peace of mind, and I can certainly appreciate that. So generally, you're going to pay probably somewhere in the neighborhood $100 to $150 an hour. Maybe a little bit more depending on the instructor.
So if you have an old crabby instructor, it's going to be really cheap, but you're going to waste massive amounts of time.
All right. How many hours do you need?
12.
Okay. So you can do the math on that.
Yes.
Then you've got to pay for some tests. You've got to pay for your final test.
It's $150 for the written plus tax wherever you are. Anywhere from $120 an hour to $170 an hour for the 12 hours that you do it. Then you got to pay for ground school, and that varies drastically from flight school to flight school, anywhere from $300 to $1,000.
Okay.
We paid $300 for it. And then, let's see, so you do your in-person hours, you do the ground school, you do your how to read a sectional map, which is, you know, even though the old guy was really crabby, he would have been so good to teach that class on how to read a sectional map, because it's so important for dronies to really understand airspace. That being said, your final check ride is $350 for that test.
Right.
Then you've got to pay $35 for your student pilot's license, and then there's another fee to actually have your license administered to you once you get it.
Okay, so all told, we can say $2,500 to $3,500.
Yes.
Depending on where you are.
Yes. Another thing I want to say too, there are some dronies out there that really didn't use their head when they were thinking about which pilot's license to go for, because the reason that a light sport aircraft or a light sport license is so beneficial for older people or people with disabilities is that your driver's license counts as your medical card. Daniel Herbert went for his pilot's license. And I forget why he didn't pass the medical. I think it was some medication he was taking. But now he can't get his pilot's license because the FAA said, well, you won't pass the medical. But if he would have went for his light sport aircraft certificate or license, they would have never had the opportunity to make that decision because his driver's license would have acted as the medical card.
That's a really important point. That's a great tip.
Yeah. So,
cool.
Guys, there's a reason powered parachute. There are 100 reasons why the powered parachute is really the way to go. Again, you can normally bust out a powered parachute license in 2 to 3 weeks, no problem. Hot air balloon is going to take a lot longer than that, like a month to 6 weeks is what I've heard. But that's what the instructors have told me. I've went around and asked people, and it takes more like 3 to 4 months. So
right.
That was not a solution for us
sure.
because I don't want to spend 4 hours setting something up to fly for 45 minutes. That's just...
Well, who has the time? I mean, that's the biggest issue.
Yes.
What is the most efficient way? And It seems as though powered parachute is a great solution.
So to summarize this before we go into the AIR Act, mm-hmm. because there's some major news about that that we have to go over today.
Okay.
So people understand. And also, I don't want to forget the InterDrone stats. At InterDrone 2015, they did a poll of everyone who was there.
Right.
How many commercial operators were there? How many people have a 333? How many people are going for a 333 or have the intention to get their 333? 25% had a 333, 75% operated commercially and had no intention of getting a 333.
Right.
So I that is interesting numbers and statistics, although I believe the perception has changed since then. The enforcements have ramped up, and people have said, look, I don't want to fight the FAA. I don't have the money, I don't have the resources, and flying drones is my livelihood, and if they ruin that, I can't afford my bills anymore.
Right.
Which I empathize with highly.
Sure. Yeah.
So
yeah.
So going the 333 is going to be easier from a marketing standpoint. It's going to be easier from a business standpoint. And frankly, from a business standpoint, too, if you do have a 333, your profit margins are not going to only increase, but your hopper of business is going to increase as well because it's easier to get business. The legal question, before John Rupert, all of our lawyers that we worked with said very clearly, they're like, well, Paul, the way that we give legal advice is, what does case law dictate? Can we really win this case? What does the case law say from previous cases? Case law from previous cases says no commercial enforcements mm-hmm. just yet. That being said, they are ramping up their enforcements. John Rupert went to a meeting in Vegas where they talked about how they were going to ramp up their enforcement. So we know it's coming.
Sure.
That's why I want to get this out there. I want to protect you guys. I want to be 100% honest with you. It's really important for me. This is what I love, and I want as many people to fly as possible. I really do.
Of course.
That being said, legally, the whole 333 is totally in question. There's no doubt about that. I mean, they're being sued by four different parties right now. So there's no doubt about that, but it really comes down to perception. So the last thing I want to talk about today, if we had to break this down into one sentence, should I get a 333 or not? Is it going to be easier to make money? Are you going to make more money? And are you going to have more fun enjoying it? Yes, yes, and yes.
Yeah, and are you really, really invested in this as a career for yourself?
That's the bigger question.
Because if you are, then it just seems as though it's going to be a necessity. At least in the short term, I don't even know how to define the short term because until 107, and even if 107 comes out, again, as you alluded to, the movie industry, and as an example, they're not going to care about 107, at least that's what we're hearing now. So if it's something that you want to pursue right now, you might end up making the same decision that we've made.
Yes. All right. Now, here's the next kicker, right? The AIR Act, the reauthorization bill for the FAA, this morning passed through committee and is moving forward in the House of Representatives to become law, which in essence sounds like a great thing, right? Micro UAS, any drone 4.4 pounds or less is exempt from any and all in future FAA rules, which is great. I love that. I think it's awesome. It's common sense. It also says that those drones can only fly 5 miles away from a towered airport.
Okay.
I love that. Example, Double Eagle.
Right.
At a towered airport versus KABQ, a towered airport.
Right.
So I think that's a really crucial differentiation. And I think it would also clear up all the guys who are being arrested for flying near heliports. Like,
which again, don't do it.
Just use common sense, guys. Yeah. I know that there's legal questions, but common sense, why would you do it?
Yeah, I mean, if you use common sense, you have a 99.9% chance of not running into legal issues. So
high five.
It's pretty simple.
All right. So the AIR Act, we think it's a great thing. Micro UAS is awesome. Here's why we're worried about the AIR Act. And I was just talking to someone about this last night. The AIR Act has the privatization of air traffic control. This has been tried multiple times in the past and has never worked. Why is this a big deal? Well, if the privatization of the air traffic control happens, airfare for you and I to fly to Los Angeles or Texas or Colorado is going to be cheaper. But it's going to be more expensive for general aviation as a whole. So if you have a Cessna, you have your own helicopter, you have all these things, it's going to cost a lot more for you to actually fly yourself, which many people believe that would kill general aviation.
I don't believe that, but okay, go ahead.
I'm just rolling with the theory that I heard. Okay?
I understand.
So if that were the case, right now we know for a fact that AOPA and the NBAA, not the NBA, the NBAA, is fighting tooth and nail to ensure that the AIR Act is struck down, to make sure that the privatization of air traffic control does not happen. Now, here's why this is a really big deal. If this whole AIR Act gets thrown under the bus and they don't pass it, there's no micro UAS rule. There's also no reauthorization of the FAA and air traffic control,
right,
which means the main focus of the FAA is going to be the reauthorization. If that happens, if they move their focus away from everything that's going on with drones and more so into the air traffic control side of things and maintaining that, will the Part 107 get passed this year?
Probably not.
Now, why is that a big deal?
Well, because we need the rules. We need some clear rules as to how to fly drones.
Well, correct. But what is the more macroeconomic effect of that? If a lot of people are not able to fly drones because Part 107 doesn't happen, what is the macro effect of that?
Well, the theory is that people will stop flying drones. They'll leave the industry, the drone industry, be it manufacturers, be it, frankly, people like us, will see business wane because there won't be enough demand.
And then the other side of that theory is the fact that the market would become oversaturated because of the lack of rules, and that drones that have obstacle avoidance and makes it really easy to fly, like what we think is coming out with Unique, like what we think is coming out with GoPro, that we're going to have more drone problems. We're going to have more and more crashes, and it's going to inhibit further legislation even more. And again, the macro factor is that people would move away from drones. The businesses would move away from drones. It's what would happen, which means that a lot of VCs and a lot of VCs that invested in drone companies would fail, which means the macro economy of drones in itself would fall significantly.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose that scenario is possible.
It's a theory.
It is a theory. I like to maintain a half-full theory perspective and believe that we're going to work this out. It's just been a little bit painful getting there.
Yes.
But I think ultimately, everybody has the same goal in mind, right, which is to have reasonable, rational, logical rules in place that help keep people safe.
But do they have the same goal, but do they do anything to act on it?
You know, it's like anything else. Some people do, some people don't. We need the right people to join us and try to make sure that common sense things get taken care of.
Right now is so important that we all stand together and fight these drone rules. I mean,
if meow's not the time, I don't know when is.
Seriously. That being said, you guys need to talk to your representatives. You need to get worked into your community, into your city council, and educate as many people as possible about what's going on.
Absolutely.
It is so critical. If you don't fight for flying now, we're just along for the ride. I mean, literally, whatever happens, you've got to deal with it. You can't complain about it. Why can't you complain about it? Because you didn't do anything about it.
Yeah, for example, there's something going on in Georgia, and I don't know exactly what, but they're looking at putting some restrictions on drones, right? And mm-hmm. So there's a group forming there, led by one of our members, frankly.
Yep.
And actually, it was brought to the attention of many of our members by someone who doesn't even live in Georgia. But my point is, that's just the kind of the group of pilots looking out for each other. And they're going to band together, and they're going to go work on making sure something happens that makes sense.
That's why I love Drone U. It is a community dedicated to the progression of this industry.
Right.
Whether people want to believe that or not, whether people believe we're just a training community, it's so much more than that. And that's why I love this community. Anyway, we better wrap this up because we have been talking for way too long.
Yes, and if you have stuck with us, man, you're awesome.
Seriously. Thank you so much, guys. We really appreciate it. We want to hear your thoughts on this. You've heard what we think now. You now know that I'm in the midst of getting my pilot's license. I actually have my student pilot's license now. I have flown some powered parachutes at a top speed of like 40.
We have pictures. Isn't it on our Instagram?
It's on Instagram. No, it's more like... Literally, what I love about the powered parachute is that when you hit the power, you don't speed up, you just go up. And if you cut the power, you don't go slower, you just hit the ground.
Yeah, that's funny.
Anyway, guys, we really appreciate everything that you guys do for the show, your comments, your shares, your reviews, everything. We really appreciate it. And that being said, be sure to check out our Facebook page, Instagram page, whatever it is. If you are new to drones and you really want to learn how to be a pro, or maybe you're ready to start that commercial adventure, you want to go for your 3D3, but you want to learn how to mitigate emergencies, you want to learn about airspace, you want to learn everything that you need to know to avoid crashes so you don't look like a fool in front of your clients, Don't Crash Course is the fastest, most convenient way that you can do that. So I highly recommend it. Highly recommend becoming a member of DroneU. Again, it's more than a school, it's a community.
And we just made some changes to our membership.
Yes, what? Oh, really?
Really? What they're very exciting changes.
What did we
actually
do, Meow?
So I'm going to make it very, very short. We've streamlined, we've simplified, and we've made it more cost effective. What more could you want? Check it out.
What does that mean?
TheDroneU.com.
All right, just check it out for yourselves, guys. And guys, seriously, 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 thank you for everything. We really appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow. As always, thank you for listening in. If you believe,
send in your questions.
Yes, send in your questions. Go to AskDroneU.com. Upload those questions. Accents get favorable points.
Yes, they do.
Whether that means anything or not is up for debate.
That's
like
right.
Many other things.
We got to remember to tell people to send in your videos and or your pictures, because if you don't know, we're now streaming.
We are.
On YouTube, youtube.com/DroneU. Is it just DroneU?
I think, yeah, it is. Yeah.
Okay. So anyways, and we're going to be putting people up there and giving you guys some recognition.
Yes.
One person every day.
Cool.
It's going to take us a while to get that ramped up, but start getting those videos and photographs in now, because we're going to pick them in and we're going to start featuring you guys.
I just love to show off other people, because there are so many cool things and cool places to be discovered, and you get kind of a glimpse into those cool places. You may think that everyone knows about that cool local spot that you're used to, but the rest of the world doesn't. So, I love, pictures. Some of my favorite photos are from the Bahamas. And then I've seen some really cool photos from Malaysia and Dubai.
You know who some of my favorite photos are coming from right now that we're seeing?
Who?
Is from our buddy Mr. Boggs.
David Boggs? Yes.
Yeah, he's got some cool stuff.
He is, I'm telling you, he's got to teach our long exposure class.
Yeah, he has an eye for that stuff.
He really does.
And so if you haven't seen his images, I'm sure we've got them
somewhere. I post them all the time on Instagram.
Yeah, they're on our feed.
At the DroneU.
Yeah, I don't know what his Instagram.
Sky Louisville.
There you go. Sky Louisville. So look for him.
Don't know how I memorize that.
I don't know either. But anyway, he's got some really nice images up there. So
anyway, guys, that's going to do it for us today. As always, thank you. My name is Paul.
And I'm Rob.
This is Ask Drone U.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the DroneU.